Live from Campbell Hall for Public Telecommunications, this is a WILL special. Tonight, a live forum with the three Democratic candidates for the mayor of Urbana. Your moderator is John Paul.
And good evening, and welcome to our Urbana Mayoral Forum exactly 1 week prior to the primary election in the city of Urbana on February 22nd. Tonight is your chance to meet the Democratic candidates running for mayor of Urbana from the warm, dry comfort of your own home tonight amid all the stormy weather outside. We'll also give you the chance to call in to question them about their plans for the city. Some notes you should know first about the Urbana city government. The city of Urbana is run as a partisan mayor-council unit of government. That means that the candidates for election in Urbana run under a designated party. Some cities are nonpartisan. The mayor is also considered a part-time, three-quarters position, but many mayors in Urbana have indeed treated it as a full-time job. There are seven elected aldermanic seats on the Urbana City Council. The mayor has some voting power in some city issues, not on others, but the mayor does have veto power. And you might be interested to note that as of 2002, about 38,000 people lived in the city of Urbana. Our program tonight is not a structured debate. The candidates' responses will not be timed. Each of the candidates will be given an appropriate opportunity to answer, and no one will be allowed to monopolize the discussion tonight. Time now to meet the candidates, all of them Democrats. A reminder, all Democrats here tonight, two women and one man. No Republican has filed for this race in Urbana, meaning that in all probability, the winner and the next mayor of Urbana is sitting right here tonight. They would become mayor after the April general election. Up first tonight, the incumbent in this race, Todd Satterthwaite. Mayor Satterthwaite has served 3 4-year terms as mayor. He has lived in Urbana nearly all of his life. Shirley Hersey is with us tonight. She has worked for the telephone company, has also worked at jobs for the former Chanute Air Force Base for the federal government, and has retired from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. She also served on the Human Relations Commission and the YWCA Board, excuse me. And our other candidate tonight is Laurel Prussing. Ms. Prussing is an economist. She was an Illinois state representative in the mid-1990s. The Champaign County Auditor at one point, and also a member of the Champaign County Board. And also joining us tonight, WILL AM 580 reporter and anchor Jim Meadows. Jim has covered Urbana government for a number of years. He'll be asking questions with me tonight to the candidates. We will invite your calls tonight, but please be patient. We'll be waiting just a few minutes to get the discussion started before we open the telephone lines. We'll give you the number at that point, show it on your TV screen, and tell you when the lines will be open for your calls, and that will happen very soon. So let me start the questioning tonight. Let's first start with Ms. Prussing tonight, and I'll ask you first, why do you think it is the people of Urbana should elect you mayor?
Well, a lot of people have asked me to run for mayor. They're concerned about the way the current mayor has dealt with the city council and the fact that we have a problem with Philo Road, and they're very upset about the way the library expansion was done. They feel the mayor, after $2 million was raised from the public, they don't like the idea that he secretly asked architects to cut 6,000 square feet from the building and tried to get that past the library board and the city council. And that created an awful lot of ill feeling, and that's why a number of people have asked me to run. And I think I would bring open and honest government to Urbana with respect for individuals and for the democratic process. I wouldn't try to go around the city council or the library board. My whole way of operating is very open, and I would respect other people's opinions.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Hersey, how about you? Why is your name on the ballot, and why are you running for mayor?
I'm running for mayor because I think I am. I can turn Urbana into a thriving community instead of a bedroom community. I think we need good economics. We don't need businesses leaving the city. I think that we need to
A train of thought.
Yeah.
We'll come back to you in a second.
Okay.
Mayor Satterthwaite, for you it's not a question of being elected, it's being reelected. At
right.
This point, why do you think the people of Urbana should send you back to the mayor's office?
Well, we've had quite a record of success while I've been mayor for the last 12 years. And I think the top priority that we've been working on while I've been in office has been economic development, because economic development provides the tax base to pay for the services that people expect in Urbana, the police, fire, public works. Not only that, but we believe that we're the economic development arm for the school district and park district as well. And so they rely on our ability to create tax base so they can pay for the education of the teachers and recreational opportunities. And we've had a great deal of success. There's been $450 million worth of development in the last 12 years while I've been mayor. We've been able to do that while lowering the property tax rate. The Urbana's rate was $1.58 when I took office. It's now $1.31. So you can see the number of economic development agreements that we've had most recently. We've been concentrating on downtown with the Lincoln Square Village development, Stratford Residences. Both of those are urban-style developments that have multiple uses with commercial, residential, and office space in them. We've had a number of other development agreements. Maybe we can get to those a little bit later. But those have enhanced the tax base, and with the good financial management that we've had at the city, we've been able to pay for things like the $8 million library that I've supported for over 10 years. We've been able to pay for neighborhood improvements like streets, roads, streetlight improvements that have improved our neighborhoods. So in the good times, we've been able to pay for those projects. In the bad times, after the economic downturn, we've been able to balance the budget without any layoffs, without any cuts in services, and without tax increases.
Ms. Hersey, let me throw the next question your direction here. Okay. First. And that's, what is priority one in your mind in the city of Urbana? Top number one issue.
Bringing in new businesses and supporting the small businesses that we have. And I'm for entrepreneurship to try to get new small businesses going. I also think that we need to bring in some stores so that a woman or a man can at least go to Urbana and buy a decent dress, or a man can buy a decent suit. There's no place in Urbana where you can do that now. The businesses are closing and leaving, and I think that we need to bring those things back. We need businesses in Urbana, and we need other businesses to help to employ the people. And I also believe that when we have people to come in and do building and things like that, that the subcontractors should have an equal opportunity to get those subcontracts. I don't think that they should just go to friends and cohorts, people who I think that everybody should have an opportunity to get those subcontracts.
Mayor, what do you see as the number one issue as you look in the 2005 election?
Well, I think obviously a continuation of the economic development, and we want to concentrate on the core area of the city and the Philo Road area. I mentioned some of the developments that are going on in downtown. Just recently, we've had some announcements about development at Five Points on both the east and the west side. Those are good redevelopment areas, probably really the gateway to Urbana, with 80,000 cars going by that intersection every day. So those are some things that I'd like to continue on with, is some economic development projects. Lakeside Terrace redevelopment is going to be something that comes up in the next year to 2 years.
I think we all expected to hear the word development quite a bit tonight from the three of you.
Yeah,
is that the number one issue across the board?
It is important. Sure. You know, as I said, the economic downturn really made it a challenge for us and for other communities across the state of Illinois. And we've been very lucky. We've, as I said, no tax increases or cuts in services or personnel. Other communities, Peoria, for instance, laid off 1 in 8 of its city employees after 9/11. They laid off 100 employees out of 800. And so now They've hired a few of those back. I think they've hired about 25 of those back. So slowly we're seeing the economy turn around. But, you know, our government, Urbana's government, Illinois, you know, it had a $5 billion budget deficit last year. And so the budget crisis is real for municipalities, states, and for the country. And so that's an important issue.
Ms. Pressing, how about you? Number one issue that you bring into the election that you think the city needs to address?
Well, it's very unusual to be having a Democratic primary when there's an incumbent Democratic mayor. And the reason people have asked me to run is that out of the 8 elected Democrats in Urbana city government right now, the only one that supports the re-election of the current mayor is the current mayor himself. And that shows that there's a great feeling that we need to change the way things are done in Urbana. And I think that I would bring the ability to work with people of very different opinions and have a civil discourse rather than the kind of acrimony that's gone on, which has completely alienated the city council. I know I've talked with voters. They're very concerned about that. And, of course, they are concerned about the lack of places to shop in Urbana. Actually, we have some very good stores and restaurants in Urbana, but people would like to see more because they feel they have to go to Champaign. And when I go door to door, people frequently talk about Philo Road. They're very discouraged about what has happened in that part of Urbana. And they'd like to see development there rather than on the fringes of the city. So my emphasis is on the downtown, which I think has great potential, and also getting Philo Road to where people feel it's a good place to shop.
Let's turn our attention, if we can, back to our viewers tonight. Now is the time that I want to invite you to make your telephone calls to WILL-TV with your questions for our candidates tonight. The telephone number at the bottom of your screen, 217-333-3495. If you'll call in, we'll put you on hold and then let you ask your questions to the candidates tonight. So now's the time to make those calls. I turn for another question to my partner here, Jim Meadows. Jim?
Well, Mayor Satterthwaite, you've already talked about accomplishments made in bringing more economic development to downtown Urbana. What do you see as being the next thing to do in the next 4 years to revive the downtown? And what's your vision of what downtown Urbana should be?
Well, I think, you know, we've gone a long way with the downtown development. We passed a downtown plan a few years ago, and you can see parts of that being implemented right now. Part of that was the streetscape program. So in the last few years, we've redeveloped the sidewalks and streetlights in the downtown area. The Lincoln Square is the biggest building in downtown, and the downtown plan said to open up Lincoln Square, more glass, more doors to the outside, have it be more of a village, and that's indeed what's going to happen. So we've been able to use some of the development tools that we have, and the TIF, Tax Increment Financing, is a very powerful economic development tool that we've used to provide incentives to Lincoln Square and to the Stratford residences that's at the corner of Race and Water, so that investors will put their money into downtown Urbana. And I certainly agree that with Laurel that the downtown and Philo Road are the places we want to concentrate on. And we do, our policy is to give financial incentives to businesses that locate there if they're warranted. And we generally don't give economic incentives to those businesses that locate on the fringe areas of town. For instance, the Walmart that's going at 130 and 150, absolutely no financial incentives from the city whatsoever. No tax breaks, no infrastructure payments, no nothing. And so I think that for downtown, it's going to be more of the kind of development that we see at Lincoln Square, the multi-use urban-style development. We've got a revitalization plan for Philo Road, and have last night, we had a development agreement for one of the buildings on Philo Road. So there are changes happening there as well.
Let me give Ms. Hersey a chance to your vision for downtown for development.
Well, I think, for one thing, I think it's a travesty about Lincoln Square. I think Lincoln Square was one of the first malls built, and I feel that Lincoln Square should be a place where people can go and shop and not be used as an office building and for our residents. I'm not for that, but if that's what the community wants, then so be it. But
you also mentioned earlier you were a big supporter of small businesses.
Yes,
I am. Do you see that in a place for downtown? Is that what downtown?
Yes, I do. In downtown Champaign and over on Philo Road, I think the small businesses could go in there and really be very successful. I really do.
Ms. Prussing, as you look at downtown, your vision for downtown?
Well, I think that the only thing that the city has been helping with on small businesses directly is facade improvement. They can get a loan for improving the exterior, but that hasn't been available for Philo Road. And I think the biggest expense that small businesses face is changing the interior so that they could open up their own business. Like there's a restaurant that was closed there, and if someone else was going to use it, they'd have to extensively remodel the kitchen. I think it's a good idea to have the residential things on the top of Lincoln Square, but what has happened is that Health Alliance was just moved from County Plaza over to Lincoln Square, so that's the office use, and then the owner of County Plaza was very upset and was going to sue the city for giving incentives for his tenants to move, so then the city gave him $250,000 to upgrade his building so that new offices could move in. But what people would like to see, I think, is retail, and I think that's going to be small businesses, and I think that we need to help them get established there, so rather than just having the facades. There needs to be some other help.
You don't see the days of the big anchor store at Lincoln Square Mall return?
Well, it doesn't. We did get one for a while, but it seems that because Lincoln Square was designed so long ago, I think it opened up in the 60s, that different things have just happened now. So I think we have to be creative about what kind of uses there can be. But I do like the idea of encouraging small retail. And I think that downtown Urbana also has a lot of potential for technology businesses and for the arts. And I think that Urbana should try to be a little bit different from Champaign and not just follow whatever Champaign's doing.
All right. Let's get to some of our callers who are patiently waiting. Let's go to a caller on line one from Urbana. Surprise, that's where most of our callers will be from tonight. You have a question for our candidates tonight regarding how they'll deal with the council. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right.
Go ahead.
My question is actually sort of a two-part question, but since the city council is composed of a fairly diverse group of independent thinkers, what three or four of your personal qualities do you think would be most helpful in working with the city council, and what is your strategy for consensus building?
Okay, thank you for your question. Let me start with Shirley.
Okay, I feel that the first thing is that we need to be more courteous to each other, and we need to treat each other with civility. I think that you get more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, and I just think that with the city council itself, I think we should give they're usually pretty professional people, and I feel that we should listen to them, and I think listening is a really good tool. Listening and trying to talk to them to be sure that, you know, what their thought process is adequate for the city.
Ms. Prussing, personal qualities that you bring that you think will help you manage the council?
Well, I don't think the mayor should be managing the council. I think mm-hmm. the mayor should be working with the council. Mm-hmm. And I think I come from a legislative background, so it would never occur to me to go around the council. I was a member of the county board, one of the first women elected, and after the three of us got elected, then it was okay for women to run. And then I was the county auditor. I was the only Democrat in the courthouse for 8 years, so I had to be able to work with Republicans. And then as a state legislator, if there's anything I learned from that, it was that you have to talk to people. If you're going to introduce a bill, you kind of go down through the list of legislators and think who's going to support it and who's going to be against it. But then you actually have to talk to those people because they're going to come up with something that you never dreamed of. And I think that's what's been missing. And it really boils down to respect and honesty. And I think that has been The problem with dealing with the city council is that you don't try to sneak things past them. That's the sure way to get people to be upset. And you don't yell and scream. That's going to get people very upset. And I think that's what the problem has been. And that's why everybody wants a change.
Mayor Satterthwaite, how do you, these sounds more like criticisms aimed at your office. How do you answer those?
Yeah, well, some of those criticisms are politically motivated. And, you know, there are a number of the council members that are actively working for other candidates and against me. And so that makes it a very difficult time. But yet we still move the city forward in a cooperative manner. The development agreements and other things that have come in recent months while this election's been going on have generally gone through unanimously. And I think that one of the responsibilities of the mayor is to work collaboratively not only with the council and talk about what their priorities are, but with a lot of other groups, business leaders, community leaders, neighborhood groups, so that we can find out exactly what they want. We can sit at City Hall and assume that we know or try to figure out what the priorities of a neighborhood is, but you don't really find out until you go talk to them. And so it's important to do that. And then as we bring things forward, it's important to have the presentation be professional and complete, and be sure that the council members are fully informed of an issue before we ask for their vote on it.
Would you change the way you work with the council because of any of these recent criticisms?
Well, I think this is a very politically charged time right before the election, and I think it's going to be the responsibility of everybody after the election to set aside the previous differences and move forward on a positive note. And right now, all the candidates try to define the differences between themselves. After the end of the election, then it's time to work together because the voters have said, these are the people we want to have work on city government. We expect you to work together, and so then we need to work together.
I'm going to start my next question off by asking Ms. Pressing. You've said in your campaign literature, and certainly other people have charged as well, that Urbana city government has a reputation of being difficult to work with, and that this has discouraged some business development in the city. Do you think this reputation is deserved? And whether or not it is deserved, what would you want to do to change it?
Well, I think that there's been a lot of unnecessary conflict. And as Todd points out, the city council really has supported many of the things that he has presented. But I think the difficulty is the way he deals with them. He gives them things at the last minute, and there's just this atmosphere of bullying and intimidation rather than this is the issue and let's have an open discussion and let's give it to them in time for them to make an intelligent decision. And I think that they feel that they've been lied to. I think the library board was pretty upset when the 6,000 feet were chopped off the library, 6,000 square feet were chopped off the library, and then it was he tried to get it past them. That is deception, and that's not the way that you work with people. You have to have the attitude that they're elected by the voters, and they have every right to understand the background of every issue, and they need to be respected. And then if you don't have this unnecessary conflict, it gives businesses the confidence to come to Urbana. And I think that sometimes businesses find it more difficult to deal with Urbana government than they do with Champaign government. And I think we have to work on that. We want it to be a very simple process for a new business to get started.
Mayor Satterthwaite, response on that topic?
Well, yeah, we've worked very hard to gain the trust of developers in Urbana, and you can see with the number of development agreements that have come even in the last few months that we do have the trust of the investors. And we work with them very closely to figure out how much, what their responsibilities are going to be, what kind of city investment there's going to be, and we bring those in a timely fashion to the council. We've always give them brief updates through email. Email's wonderful, and it's a good way to keep in communication. We solicit their input and questions on development agreements and other issues that come before the council, and the packet is put out at the same time. It's been coming out at the same time for the entire 12 years that I've been in office. And so, you know, people have different ideas and views politically, and they're going to come to the fore. That's what politics is all about. It's a discussion of ideas and a discussion of different points of view, and the challenge is, if we disagree, to do it in an agreeable fashion and then settle the issue and move on. And I think that that's what business wants to see, is have a professional attitude in our government, and that gives them the comfort to invest. And we have done, even operationally, a lot of things so that we respond to their needs in a timely fashion. We do inspections, we guarantee inspections within a certain amount of time, and we're very responsive to the needs of the business community.
Okay. Let me ask Ms. Hersey if you have a response in that area. Do you believe the city is difficult to work with when it comes to some of these issues?
Yes, yeah, sometimes.
And what would you do to address those issues?
For one thing, I think I would treat people with more respect and dignity, because people are first an individual and a human being, and they should be treated as such. I don't feel that people should yell and scream at people. They should treat me like I have some feelings. And sometimes, I know I've been to one of the city council meetings where one of the city employees had gone like $200 over her budget, and they just, at that city council meeting, they just raised all kinds of devil about that, but they didn't say anything about the fire department being $50,000 or $60,000 over budget, but they were going to argue about $200, and to me, that's ludicrous.
All right. We do have a number of callers patiently waiting, and I do want to get to them. Let's go to a caller on line two. You have a question for the mayor regarding the library. Go ahead.
Thank you. Mayor Satterthwaite, you said that you have for 10 years supported the $8 million library expansion project, but you fought very hard against spending one-third of the city's $5.1 million contribution to that project. You know, as recently as 3 years ago, you were still fighting it. Why aren't you being honest about your role in the library expansion project?
Okay. Thanks for your call and your patience, Mayor.
Well, this is Esther Pat, Laurel's campaign chair. And obviously, these, you know, I have been a strong supporter. These kinds of charges are meant to distort my record on the library over a 10-year period. And I went back to the budgets, and we've been setting money aside in the budget since 1994 so that we could pay for the library cash, which we have done. Our contribution has been over $5 million, and I worked with the foundation to raise $2 million and was worked very hard with state officials to get state grants in the amount of $800,000 for the project. Now, it's true, as the money was being set aside, you know, we didn't know 5 years ago how much it was going to cost. Estimates at that time were maybe that it was going to cost $5 million. As little as 3 years ago, we thought it was going to be in the $7 million range. And I did lobby for a library project that was slightly smaller than this, about 10% smaller. Still, it would be about 80% larger than the current library before it was built, so not quite doubling, but nearly doubling the size, increasing the amount of books by 30%, so that we would go from 200,000 books to 230,000 books. And so I have been working over a very long period of time for the library. I've been a strong supporter of it. Now, I don't want to write any department in the city a blank check, whether it's police, fire, public works, or the library. And so I've been very fiscally conscious about not spending too much money on any project. But when the project came in at the price it was, and the council voted for that, I went ahead, found the money for it, asked the state for additional money, which was granted, and the foundation came up with an additional amount of money for the project as well.
Ms. Hersey, anything regarding the library issue?
No, I think they've said enough.
Todd has said that this is all because of politics, and I started out by saying it's very unusual to have a primary when you have an incumbent Democrat. You wouldn't normally expect to have a Democratic primary, and it's because of things like the library and the way the city council has been treated and the way boards and commissions have been treated, the way Shirley Hersey was treated. On the library, if the money that the architects came in with was higher than what people had been expecting, the proper thing, and what I would have done if I had been mayor, was go back to the library board and tell them what the situation was and give them the decision, do you want to raise more money or do you want to reduce the size of the building? I have never heard of anybody secretly going to the architects and saying, reduce the size of this building, and then trying to slip it past the library board and the city council. That's the kind of thing that caused this political situation. That's why our current mayor has two opponents in the primary.
Todd, last word on this, since this is kind of accusatory towards you.
Right. Well, when we had the direction to the architect, and I went back and looked at my records the other day, it was to bring back a project of $6.85 million. And so that's what they did. In fact, the project they brought back was closer to $7.5 million. And it's true, I was lobbying for that $7.5 million project. The council overruled me. They wanted an $8.2 million project, and that's what we've got. And once the decision was made, I went along with the program, found the extra money, worked with the state to get extra money, and we've got a beautiful library. And you know, it's been the overall picture of the library has been one that's been very cooperative with the library board, with the library foundation board that's raised $2 million, city staff and the public and the council all working together to make it happen.
Okay, let's move on to a new issue and another caller. Line four, caller from Urbana, and you have a question regarding landlords, is that correct?
Yes, I've been living in Urbana for several years, and personally, my main concern is absentee landlords, properties that are really degenerating and are infested with roaches and mice and maybe have a lot of drug traffic coming in and out. I lived in a house owned by one of these kind of individuals, and I lost a lot of money.
And your question for the candidates tonight?
Well, my question is there any room in the city law to be changed so that there's a little bit more chance for renters to have a more kind of just situation? Is there anything we can do about absentee landlords?
Okay. Thank you for your question and, again, your patience. Ms. Hersey first.
Well, I think there is something you can do about absentee landlords. And I have to agree with him because we used to fight about that too. We had absentee landlords, and the property is not kept up to city code.
Would you tighten the codes?
I just think the codes need to check them. I think that they need to when somebody reports that something is not is out of line in rental property. I think we should have inspectors to go over there to be sure that they are within code.
All right. Ms. Pressing?
Well, one of the problems is that the city doesn't even know who owns the property or who's in charge of maintenance. And so one of the proposals Esther Pat has brought up is to have registration of landlords so the city knows who's in charge and have some sort of a fee charge for that. And not only enforce or have inspectors to go out and check for code violations, but to have more legal staff probably to make sure that people don't get these endless second chances, so they just keep the problem for 180 days or something before something's done about it. That's a safety hazard for the tenants, and it creates a lot of havoc in the neighborhoods because people are concerned about their property values going down when some neighboring building is allowed to deteriorate.
So you would rewrite the codes to register the landlords?
Yes, I think we should have a registration so we know who's in charge of the maintenance of the property. So that would speed up how can you fix a health and safety violation and make it safe for the tenants.
Mayor Satterthwaite.
Well, right now we do have inspectors that systematically inspect some properties, and all rental property of three units or more are systematically inspected. Now, we only have one inspector doing it, and it takes him about 7 or 8 years to do a cycle, so it may be appropriate to develop a program to have more inspections and more frequent inspections. But for problems that are ongoing, there are a couple of ways that tenants can deal with that. One is if they call in a complaint, if they think there's a code violation, our inspectors will respond to that complaint. And then we'll go through the entire house, find out what the code violations are. The life safety codes need to be fixed immediately, and we make sure they're fixed immediately. The other codes, we work with the landlords, if there are a number of them, to work through those on a timely basis, and we follow up and make sure they're making progress so that they don't linger on forever. The other thing is we've got a landlord-tenant ordinance that allows that has a repair deduct clause. So if the tenant asks for a repair from the landlord and the landlord doesn't make it, the tenant can pay for the repair himself, him or herself, and then deduct it from the rent. And so there are a variety of tools available to tenants right now.
Do you favor registering landlords?
Well, it's something that we should look at, yes. And if we do that, then there would be a fee per building or per apartment that could pay for additional inspectors and help to enforce the codes even more than we're doing already.
Okay. Let me ask a question that was sent to me by email in the last few days about intergovernmental cooperation between and planning between not only the city of Champaign, the university, the park districts, park boards, whatever it might be. If you are elected or reelected in your case, would you continue projects already being planned or started? Would you, in essence, live up to agreements already made or in the works? And how receptive would you be to new initiatives, be it with the park districts or be it with the city of Champaign or be it with the county government?
Yeah, well, that was one of the things that was in my platform, is that I think that we should work with all other facets of government in order to make Urbana a better place to live. We should work with the University of Illinois, even the schools, because I think anybody would want to live in a community where they have excellent schools for their children and excellent housing.
Would you live up to projects that are already in the works, so to speak, if you were elected mayor?
It depends on what they are.
So a case-by-case basis?
Case-by-case. Mm-hmm.
Mayor Satterthwaite?
Well, I think most of the agreements that we have already we're contractually obligated to honor. You know, we've got road agreements with the university, for instance, so that in the next couple of years we'll be reworking the intersection of Lincoln and Pennsylvania and Lincoln and Nevada. Those we're contractually obligated to do, and so certainly I would say that we would honor each and every agreement that we have with other governments, whether it's Champaign, the county, the university, or whomever. And we look for ways to cooperate and collaborate with other units of government all the time. In fact, the university a few years ago had a seminar where the ultimate product was a pamphlet of intergovernmental cooperation throughout the Champaign County area, and it was probably a 60-70 page document of all the instances of intergovernmental cooperation, anywhere from public safety. Our 911 MedCAD system is a joint Champaign-Urbana U of I County organization, on down to joint purchasing with school districts and park districts, and payroll and ticket paying and a variety of things. It was an unbelievable amount of cooperation is going on, and it's mostly operational, so a lot of times people don't see it.
Ms. Prussing, after you're elected mayor, what would you do with agreements previously or already in the works from the previous administration?
Well, if they're signed agreements, I think we certainly have to live up to them, but if they're still in the works, then I think you have to, you know, get everybody on board, because you'll have a new city council and a new mayor. I certainly believe that we have to cooperate with other governments, because a lot of these issues that we're dealing with cross political boundaries. So I'm a big believer in that, and I think that we have had some problems with other governments, and we need to make sure that we have a very open and businesslike and friendly relationship with them.
Okay, we'll be getting back to your phone calls in just a minute. A question from my partner, Jim Meadows.
Mayor Satterthwaite, in 2003, you reduced the city's contribution to the Champaign County Economic Development Corporation by a substantial amount. It was about from $38,000 down to $13,000, if I have my numbers correctly. Could you talk about the rationale for doing that then, and Do you think it should continue at that level, or is there a possibility for a different relationship with the EDC in the future?
Well, I think there's a possibility for a different relationship. Obviously, as everybody saw their budgets, had a budget crunch in the last few years, we wondered, you know, how would we make our how would we make ends meet? And we took a look at the EDC and saying, well, the money that we're putting to EDC, would that be better spent if we put it into our own economic development person working strictly for the city of Urbana? And we decided that's what we would do. And the reduction was a sign that we didn't have a lot of confidence in the EDC at that time with the personnel that they had. I feel personally that they'd made some bad decisions, and we weren't getting, we really weren't getting our money's worth out of them. They hadn't showed properties in Urbana like we felt that they should, and so we said, well, this is an area where we feel like we need to cut back. Now, they do have new staff there, and very competent, very professional staff, and so I think this is an area where we would see an increase in the EDC contribution if we can fit it into the budget.
Ms. Prussy?
Well, I think that did create some ill feeling with other units of government. I was told at a meeting that Rantoul's contributing more than Urbana, so that's, you know, people think that's very unfair. So I certainly think that if there is an issue that you think the organization isn't quite up to what you'd like to see, it's better to stay there and work with them and get them to where you want than just withdraw.
Ms. Hersey, you have concerns at all about where the city spends its money from economic development standpoint in support of the EDC, or keeping it within the city, so to speak?
Well, I think that we should pay our fair share. Whatever it is, we should pay our fair share. And we should live up to what other communities are living up to.
All right, let's go to another caller, line two, this one from Champaign, who has a question regarding the Francis Nelson Healthcare Center. Go ahead.
Hi, I'd like to find out from the candidates what how they plan to help Francis Nelson continue to see the ever larger growing population of uninsured and underinsured patients.
Okay, thank you for your call. Ms. Hersey, we'll start with you.
Well, that's a good question. I don't know how much now Urbana is contributing to that. And I don't know how much the state is contributing to that. I don't have access to that.
You are supportive of Francis Nelson?
Yes, I am. Because I think they really do help the poor and the disenfranchised.
Okay.
I really do. And I think that whatever is fair for Urbana to give, I think we should live up to that.
Mayor Satterthwaite.
Well, there are a couple of places where we could find money to support Francis Nelson. I know that right now they're looking at a new facility, and so they're doing fundraising for that. And I think they've gotten some contributions. The hospitals are very interested in having Francis Nelson be healthy, because if Francis Nelson is serving the underserved population right now, it means that they're getting the proper kind of care rather than showing up at the emergency rooms for either Provena or Carl. So they've made contributions to that capital fund for a new Francis Nelson Center. The Francis Nelson can apply to both cities for community development block grant funding. And, of course, that's competitive funding. They would apply, and those would be evaluated by the city staffs and see how it ranked with other priorities. But that's a possibility for funding for the capital part of it. We have a history of funding Francis Nelson from our social services grants, and we've done that for many years up until the last few years when the Francis Nelson administration didn't meet our reporting requirements, and we told them that what they had to do it. They said that they'd rather not have the money than to fill out the forms. But that is another avenue for the ongoing operations, is to apply for some of the social service money at the city of Urbana.
Ms. Prussy?
Well, certainly one of the biggest reasons of personal bankruptcy is health care costs, so I think anything that we can do to help people get preventive health care is a wise investment, because we're going to end up paying more money out if we don't prevent some of these problems. So I'm always been very much in favor of public health services, and I think we should help Francis Nelson, and I think the city should also be involved in lobbying the legislature for better laws on health care and on education, all kinds of things. So it is a broad responsibility for the city.
We can read a lot about each of your backgrounds when we read the paper or when we hear you on the radio or in forums like this, but that may not give voters an insight into your character, into your personality. As an elected official, who do you look up to? Who would you most like to be like? And who do you admire as an elected official, either at the local level or at the national level personally? Who is it that you say, gee, boy, I'd like to be like that elected official? Ms. Prussing?
Well, I don't know if there's anybody I would say I want to be like that, but there's certainly a lot of people I admire. And I was a very early supporter of Barack Obama. I was out getting signatures for him to get him on the ballot before most people had heard of him. And I admire him for his honesty and for his ability to work with different people who have very different ideas. And so he's a good model.
Okay. Mayor Satterthwaite?
Well, again, I like Laurel, I would look to our senators here in Illinois, Barack Obama and Dick Durbin. And I'm much more familiar with Dick Durbin since he's been in office, in that particular office, for a lot longer than Obama has. And he's been just terrific as far as outreach in the state, very knowledgeable about the issues, very articulate. You know, he's a kind of person that makes a very common sense, logical argument on virtually any issue at any time that's thrown at him. And he's now the whip, minority whip in the Senate, and so we're going to be seeing a lot more of him, and I think that's a real benefit.
Ms. Hersey, you and your husband both have a background in politics and being an ex-husband. Tell me a little bit about who you look up to as an elected official.
Well, the person who I used to look up to before he died was Paul Simon. I thought he was just an unusually nice person and an unusually knowledgeable person, and a person who had feelings for people. And I also look up to Barack Obama.
Okay, thank you. Let's move on to another caller. Let's move to a caller on line one. This call coming from Urbana. You have a question about the neighborhoods in the downtown area. Is that correct? Are you still there on line one? Apparently not. Let's move on to a caller on line two about economic development. You have a question. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. I'm a resident of Southeast Urbana, and I'm certainly concerned about economic development on Philo Road. You know, it's clearly been a problem for a good long while. We saw the closing of the Jewel store many years ago and the Kmart several a couple of years ago, and more recently the Jerry's IGA. You know, and the mayor mentioned his support of economic development, and certainly there's been a large amount of that in the last few months as we approach this election. But one of the things that concerns me is that we watched Philo Road decline for years. And we saw the Philo Road redevelopment plan is something that was passed last week, and you know, as somebody who lives in the area, I saw Philo Road decline for a very long time, and I wonder why it took so long for something to happen with this plan, and how we can expect this problem to be dealt with in the future.
Okay, thank you for your question and your patience. Let me turn to you first, Ms. Prussing.
How long? Well, I would try to act on it as soon as Kmart left and Jewel left. I was very sad. I shopped at Jerry's IGA. I was very sad when they were leaving. So I think it was the mayor's responsibility to respond when the problem was developing instead of just bringing up a plan a couple of weeks before the election.
So, Ms. Hersey?
I agree with that because I shopped a lot at Jerry's IGA and I shopped at Jewel's and Kmart. I used to go over there and shop there too, and I think that when they were in the process of leaving, I think something should have been done about it. Or people, they should have talked. There should have been some talking, some communication going on, so that they wouldn't just leave the city.
All right, Mayor Satterthwaite.
Well, the Philo Road certainly has been a challenge, but most of the vacancies of the Kmart and the Jerry's have been relatively recent. The The Eisner OSCO, or Jewel OSCO, for 3 years was taken by the school district as they were remodeling Leal and the middle school, so it was occupied for quite a while and wasn't available for redevelopment. And even right after the closings, we started doing a program to fill the smaller vacancies in the Philo Road area with a program similar to what we had downtown, which Ms. Pressing referred to as our facade loan program. But that was available, those low-interest loans and grant money was available to businesses to be able to locate in those vacant storefronts. Then, obviously, with the Philo Road redevelopment plan that was passed just recently, but that took months. We started on that last summer, putting that together, meeting with residents in the area, finding out what they wanted. We did a survey of potential customers. We did a survey of businesses. We've met with a business group there to decide how to do marketing, joint marketing, and beautification of the area. So we have a variety of different tools that we've been using all along, and the culmination has been the Philo Road redevelopment plan that has just been passed in the last few weeks.
All right. Jim?
Well, the Urbana City Council recently endorsed the concept of a domestic partner registry for unmarried couples, both same-sex couples and opposite-sex couples. Shirley Hersey, perhaps you could start off. Do you support such a plan, and how do you think it would benefit the city and its people?
Well, I think it's none of my business what sex people want to live with. And if they are couples, and if he had a wife, they'd have insurance for them. And I feel that if they're same-sex couples, then they should have the same rights.
Ms. Pressing?
Well, when I was in the legislature, I was a sponsor of the Human Rights Act, which passed the House for the first time, I think it was 1994, and then it finally became law this January. So Urbana has had a long history of being progressive on human rights, and I think the domestic partner registry goes with that, and it's a human rights issue, and I think we should support it.
Mayor Satterthwaite.
Well, I support it. If you might recall, a couple of years ago, the administration worked with the council to provide some employment benefits to same-sex couples that we hadn't offered in the past. And to do that, we set up an internal registry for same-sex couple for domestic partners, both same-sex and opposite-sex couples. And so this would be very similar to the one that we've set up for city employees and make it available to residents of Urbana. And there could be a couple of different benefits. One is that other employers throughout town may offer some employment benefits to domestic partners that they don't, to people that don't have a formal relationship in their partnership. The other is for definition of a household and a family. Some of our code says if there are four unrelated people in a house, you can't have more than four unrelated people in a single family home. Now, this would mean that those domestic partners then are related, and that that would be a household rather than just unrelated people in that home.
We only have a few minutes left in the program, and I apologize to our callers who are waiting, but we've only got time for really one more question here, so we give everybody ample time to answer. Are you ever concerned that Urbana is constantly being compared to Champaign? Is that fair for people to compare you to North Prospect, to compare you to tax rates in Champaign, to compare you for a lot of reasons? Is that fair, or should Urbana be itself, its own separate entity and its own separate identity? Ms. Pressing?
Well, I'm sure Urbana should have its own separate identity, but I think that comparisons are inevitable. We're right across Wright Street from Champaign, so people are always going to do that. But I think Urbana has its beauties, and people who live here appreciate the quality of life in Urbana. We have beautiful parks. We have a wonderful school system. I think we need to go to the legislature and try to get the state to change the way we fund education. I think that's one of the things the city can do, is cooperate with other cities on that basic function. But I think we've got wonderful stores and restaurants, and we need some more. And we're always going to be compared to Champaign, but I think we can compete.
Ms. Hersey, is that unfair that Urbana is always getting compared to those people on the other side of Wright Street?
No, it's not unfair. I feel that Champaign has just been more progressive in building up their city and getting a lower tax base. I've had a lot of people who have talked to me, and they said that a lot of the reason that they won't move to Urbana is because our tax rate is so high. And I really do think it's fair for them to compare us with Champaign, because Champaign, everybody have to go to Champaign to shop to even get a decent dress or to get, you know, and they've just got, you know, we've got restaurants in Urbana, but I think people want things in Urbana so they can shop Urbana. They don't have to go to Champaign or Savoy or Chicago to buy things.
Mayor Satterthwaite, is it unfair?
Well, as Laurel said, the comparisons are inevitable since we share a boundary, and so we do have to compare on tax rates. And as Shirley was saying, there are people that have been directed over to Champaign for housing because the tax rate's lower there. And that's one challenge that we've tried to master by having our Build Urbana program, where we equalize the tax rate for a period of 5 years for anyone that builds a new home. It's been a wildly successful program. 600 homes have been built, and $1 million going to the school district. That being said, I think there are a lot of things about Urbana's character that are different than that of Champaign's. We have very strong neighborhoods with their own identities. We've got a recycling program that people embrace and that's been improved over the years. And so there are a lot of differences between the two communities, but we do have to occasionally compare ourselves.
All right. Thank you very much tonight. Thanks to all of you. We have run out of time. Our apologies to the phone callers we didn't get to tonight because the conversation just would have run on for another hour here. But thanks to all of you for being here tonight, to Mr. Satterthwaite, the three-term incumbent mayor in Urbana, to Ms. Hersey, who is the challenger and former member of the Human Relations Commission, and to Ms. Prussing, another challenger for this position and former state representative in the Champaign-Urbana area. And also to Jim Meadows, my reporting partner here at WILL. We hope that you, the viewer, have gained some insight about all these candidates and about the issues in the race in Urbana, and will feel just a little bit smarter when you head to the polls next week on Tuesday. Again, thanks to you, and have a good evening.
Next, Scientific American Frontiers traces the fascinating history of deep ocean exploration and discovery.